If you're not performing well in Google, then these other AI platforms, that's where they acquire their information from. And foundationally speaking, you do need very strong SEO to have the visibility that you want in these other platforms, but you can't have one without the other.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. This is the Business Superfans Podcast with your host, Freddie D.
Freddie!
Hey, super fans, superstar Freddie D here. Welcome to episode 157 of Business Superfans, the Service Provider's Edge podcast. In this episode, we're joined by Steven Schneider, co-founder and CEO of Trio SEO, a content-led SEO agency helping B2B, SaaS, and service brands turn organic traffic into qualified pipeline. Steven tackles a problem every service-based entrepreneur faces: how to stop chasing vanity metrics and start using SEO to drive real revenue. Too many businesses focus on clicks and rankings that never convert. Steven shows how to flip that. From co-owning a seven-figure blog portfolio solely built through SEO to now partnering with the founders of FreeUp, Steven's journey proves that when you treat SEO as a growth engine, not a guessing game, you can build predictable, pipeline-driven results. If you ever wondered how to make content actually convert, this conversation is for you. Welcome, Steven, to the Business Superfans Podcast. Great conversation that we had before we started recording. You're up from Seattle, down here in Scottsdale, Arizona. We've got interesting backgrounds, both of us. And you've got a more interesting background is the fact that you jumped into the blog world and made that scale. So let's talk about that first off. How did you get started into that? And then what really pivoted you to where you're at doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, so I got my start in college. I was, like many in college, not really knowing what to do, how to go about it, what my next steps were. My game plan at that point was pretty much just get my undergrad, go back for my MBA, rack up a lot of debt, and sell my soul to corporate VC, wait to retire. It was this boring path that I was just committed to because I knew I was going to make good money and have security, etc. Thankfully, that wasn't the case. My good friend in college showed me that he was building and selling websites on the side. These were Amazon affiliate blogs, micro niche sites that focused on a specific service or industry, and had all this blog content that redirected the traffic to Amazon in order to get commissions on sales. The interesting part about that is these sites would make money month over month, and you could sell it like real estate. So if you were selling, making $1,000 a month on a website, you could essentially sell that website for 30 to 40,000, depending on the kind of multiplier on that. And so we saw this as a really good opportunity. SEO was really easy to enter and dominate. So it just kind of became a numbers game. We built, bought, and grew our portfolio together with me and him and our other partner. We scaled up to about 40 sites, and we're doing about 1.4 million ARR, building and selling sites on the side through like small acquisitions and smaller exits along the way, publishing like 300 to 400 blogs on a monthly basis. So pretty large scale operation, to say the least. Now I get to apply all of the SEO strategies that I learned from that journey to help B2B service-based companies and SaaS companies grow their businesses.
And what's the name of the company?
Our company is called Trio SEO. It's a SEO-specific agency, and we've been helping businesses grow for about 3 years now. Theirs and my co-founders also come from a very successful journey in the SEO space. So it's been good to join forces with some good guys.
Yeah, because SEO has changed dramatically over the years. I mean, I tell people that wait 5 minutes and Google and Bing have changed their algorithms. It's a dynamic world, and what you did yesterday isn't going to necessarily work tomorrow.
Yeah, it's an ever-evolving landscape, especially with how ChatGPT, Perplexity, and all of these AI models are entering the entire conversation.
It's changing search completely. We use Perplexity now a lot, and because it cuts out all the noise and just gives me the information I'm looking at, so it doesn't throw up 57 different companies that are similar to what I'm looking, and then I got to weed through it all. It just, here's the data, boom, that's what you want, and that's it. So what's pretty cool is it does the research, so it shows you where it got the data and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's very clean and efficient from the user's point of view. I think that's where Google has gone wrong nowadays. They tried to enter the conversation, just completely fumbled the ball from that point of view. It's nice to see that these other places are starting to attract user base, and for good reason. And our job as SEOs is to help our clients now generate more business from places like ChatGPT so that they are entering the conversations, getting ranked and showing up there.
It's like going back in the day when Netscape was a big browser. They were a major player. Actually, they were a huge player, and they didn't pivot when they needed to pivot, and they became obsolete. Having been in a SaaS space, as I told you before we started, for 45 years, I've been involved in it on and off. I've seen a lot of companies that go under because they didn't pivot. When the opportunity was there to make a tweak, they didn't. They said, well, it's not going to happen and all that stuff. And sorry, the world changes really fast.
Yeah, and we're seeing that right now too with even our own business and our agency right now. It's a lot of these conversations that we're having where people are coming to us and they're saying, I just want to rank in ChatGPT. I don't care about ranking in Google anymore. And from our point of view, it's a tough conversation because you can't have one without the other. If you're not performing well in Google, then these other AI platforms, that's where they acquire their information from. And foundationally speaking, you do need very strong SEO to have the visibility that you want in these other platforms, but you can't have one without the other. So that's where we're shifting gears and trying to expand our strategies and just trying to expose our clients and new customers to these ideas and how we can potentially bridge that gap.
Because you've got multiple platforms. Everybody talks about ChatGPT, but you've got Claude, and you've got the one that Elon Musk is trying to get launched. And then you've got the Google one, and everybody's now trying to come up with their own AI platform. And it's like the race to be the smartest. It's transformed in the last year. It's accelerated.
Yeah, no doubt. The ChatGPT kind of brand in itself is almost what Google was for the original search era.
Absolutely correct. Yep.
The first mover advantage there, it has the household name. It has everything that you would need in order to be successful from the consumer's point of view. And I think that's where a lot of that dominant force is going to be seen over the next 5, 10 plus 15 years. It'll be really interesting to see what platforms drop off, which ones crush it, and which ones continue to thrive.
Well, you look at Apple. I mean, they could have partnered up with anybody, and they partnered up with ChatGPT. That tells you something in itself. And they've incorporated it into their operating system, because I'm running all the beta stuff. I'm running the OS 26, and I've had some bumps, but I've always been in the forefront on beta software since my days in the software business. So I get it that I'm going to have some face plants with the software, but that's part of being on the bleeding edge.
Yeah, especially from Microsoft's point of view, they made a huge investment in ChatGPT early on, and that's paid so well for their point of view. They also have Copilot, though, and Copilot's something that they're trying to incorporate within their tech stack and within Windows products, but I think that them just a team who's accessible to ChatGPT, like that was a very smart play on their side, just from a synergistic point of view. Google is obviously trying to develop Gemini, and unfortunately, the search function within AI overviews from an SEO point of view is just so wonky. It's awkward. It's crushing SEO from a user point of view, and I think that people are really feeling that. I think that is not a situation where Google has the chance to turn it around. I don't think they will, because they don't usually listen to people. They just do what's best for the P&L, but it'll be interesting to see where things take shape.
So let's go back to Trio SEO, and how do you work with an organization? So let's say I come along and says, hey, Stephen, I want to bump up my SEO. Why should I pick you guys from all the other so-called SEO gurus and garage guys and everybody else?
Yeah, so the main thing that we always like to touch on is that we're founders and builders first and foremost. We spent the last 10 to 15 years doing this for ourselves and running that playbook. My journey was through blogging and large scale growth on that sense. My co-founders, Connor Gillivan and Nathan Hirsch, are very well respected. They built a company called FreeUp, which was a kind of competitor to Upwork or Fiverr from a freelance marketplace. They scaled that from a $5,000 investment to 12 million ARR within 4 years, strictly through SEO. Exited that company in 2019. These guys know what they're doing, and it's a very serendipitous relationship that we randomly met on LinkedIn just through a cold networking call and found that there was something there after 6 to 9 months of just small talk, staying in touch, and networking calls turned into texting and texting turned into actual phone calls. And we found that when you can bring the CEO founder kind of mentality to the conversation, we're looking at things outside of just an SEO strategy that can really help turn your website around. We're looking at conversion rate optimization. We're looking at lead magnets. We're looking at user experience. We're looking at flows and things that I think SEOs know, but just have a little bit more tools in our tool belt to pull into.
All right, let's say I'm ready to get working with you guys. What's the roadmap?
Yeah, so we typically always start off with some onboarding forms to learn about your company, your ideal customer, what pillars of your business matter most to you, how you're defining success currently, all the standard nuts and bolts, KPIs, etc. And then we pretty much take all that information and develop a strategy that would be extremely ROI focused. So we're not going after topics that are just for fluff. We're not going after articles and pages on your site that don't truly move the needle for your business. We always work in 90-day sprints. We develop an action plan, whether that's going to be 5, 10 pieces of content per month, what the deliverables look like, and then we set out to conquer. We do weekly check-ins via email with stats and progress updates. We meet back every 90 days to go over analytics and the next upcoming strategy, and then we just rinse and repeat.
You brought up an important point I want to really emphasize for our listeners is that you're really focusing on 90-day sprints because in reality, you don't see nothing in the first 30 days. It really takes a little bit of time to get everything to start working and then start tracking. And it's really important to track what's happening because you can pivot, adjust, tweak, retool, whatever you need to do versus a lot of people get it all set up and then they say, okay, there it is. It's all set. See ya. But pay me monthly and I don't do anything for the monthly fee.
Yeah, that's exactly what we learned very early on when we talked to customers before we even launched. We did a bunch of market research and talking to people. We also took feedback of our own from agencies that we had maybe worked with or hired in the past as founders and what we didn't like about that process. And a lot of the overlapping feedback was that people in the point of view of whoever's high end agency can essentially sign up for the work and then they don't know what's going on. They don't get updates. They don't know if it's making a difference in their company. At the end of the day, if people aren't seeing booked calls and revenue increase, then they don't think that what you're doing is adding value. We took the opposite stance in that and say, hey, no, we're doing a lot of work, but we don't necessarily loop you in on that. So how do we open the blinds per se? And we're just going to over communicate. You don't have to respond to my emails, but you get a weekly email update every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. And it shows you what was worked on that week, what statuses are being worked on, screenshots of analytics. And so we're really trying to ensure that people know there is a lot that goes into the job we do and the money you're paying us for. And here's exactly what we're doing. And that's your open line of communication every single week.
That's really important because now you're creating transparency and then you're making people feel comfortable because out of sight, out of mind, you start to wondering what's going on. I was running a company a couple of years ago. I stepped in as general manager and they had a company, it was internal people. The office manager's daughter was running the website and she got some other guy to handle the SEO stuff and everything else. And I came in and says, all right, I want to take a look at all the data. Oh, you don't need to see anything. You don't know anything about this stuff. And it's really what I got. That was the thing. And I went like, okay, you don't know my background, but I built the websites in 1997 when I was in charge of global sales for a software company, Microsoft Front Page. And I started a side gig from all the distributors. So I do have a little bit of a clue on that stuff. And I used to use Go Live from Adobe and blah, blah, blah. And finally, I ended up replacing that thing. And it was a tough battle because it was political. But I did replace with an agency and we made some improvements and we started to get some traction, started getting some stuff. And then we redid some things because it needed a couple evolutions to really improve the content and everything else. It doesn't happen the first time. You did it. Now we got, okay, we're 100% better. Now let's improve that again. But they became complacent as well.
So it's interesting that from my experience, the good companies that really build and maintain long-term customers stay engaged with their customers.
Yeah, and that's like why we could just stick to weekly emails and make that our only method of communication, but we're also doing 90-day check-ins. So even though the strategy is reviewed and approved via email just to save time, in order to make sure that the wheels keep turning, we still meet every 90 days and I run through an analytics deck and I talk through any questions they have. And they're like, hey, what does this mean? Can we talk about this? I also come prepared with notes that are maybe unrelated to SEO. If I could look at them and I say, hey, I had a meeting with a client last week. We ran through their 90-day meeting. And I said, you're getting a lot of visits to your contact page, and your contact page is probably the most important page on your website. That's how you're getting leads. But I said, there's no trust on this page. You have zero testimonials. You could add some photos of some people with reviews. I said, it's a single stage form with 12 inputs. Can we make it down to 6? Maybe you get more leads. So coming to them with potentially things you're not thinking about because you're tied up with a million other things in the business.
You can't see it.
Exactly. But that's where we find the value in having those conversations, making them know, oh, yeah, that makes sense. When we can do that, not only, like you said, trust and transparency, but also just value add. Like, the fact that could be an easy win for them, because you can bring all the traffic in the world to a website SEO wise, but if it looks like trash, it's not going to convert.
Sure. Yeah. I've worked with 10 years ago, my wife and I, we started a company. We were competing with Yext, and we did get some investment. We were the first company to do vertical, industry specific vertical directory listing. So if you're an automotive repair shop, we did that. Yext wasn't doing that back then in 2015. And so we were doing it. So we never lost to Yext. So we got some investment money. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I ended up getting some web projects out of those deals as well. And most of those customers I kept for 10 years. I mean, I had some customers back from 2009, 2010 that I had done some stuff with. And I think the longest one was 15 years I held them as a customer. And so they were one of my super fans. All of them were super fans because they lasted, most of my customers in that web space when I was focusing in that space, for at least 5 to 10, 15 years.
Yeah, that's the definition of a business super fan right there.
Yep. So share a story of a company that you guys came into. They were kind of floundering, basically starting to stay afloat. How did you guys transform them?
Yeah, so the immediate one that comes to mind is a company called ExitWise. They are in a M&A advisory team. So they pretty much assemble your dream team for you. If you're going through an exit or an act, they will pull in lawyers, accountants, CFOs, et cetera. So they came to us. They knew our founder, my co-founders, through the exit that they went through. And they said, hey, we have this valuation calculator on our website. We think it's the best one out there. It's very high quality. We just need to get more eyeballs on it. So if we can get more people to use the calculator, it'll take care of the rest. It has a form submission and those are all generated as leads. So when people go to see how much is my company worth, that essentially submits a lead to the team and they can follow up on that. So created a strategy that is pretty much just conquered every single article imaginable for how much is my XYZ company worth. Biotech valuations, med health valuation articles, anything you name it, they have an article around how to value that company. And then there'd be a call out to go use the calculator for free. And over time, we pretty much just crushed the strategy for them. The calculator grew from a couple submissions a week to where they're getting upwards of 40, 50 submissions per week. And so 200 leads at the end of the month. Obviously, there's a lot of sorting and filtering they have to do on the back end to qualify those leads, but it's better to have an overabundance of leads than zero. And yeah, they've been with us. They were probably one of our first two or three clients, I would say, that we started with. And they've been with us ever since. So it's been a very good relationship on that same thing of what you're saying, where if you build it, they will come. We had a very good partnership in that sense. And yeah, things are still growing for them.
So you could say that they're your super fan and they're telling everybody how you've transformed their business, going from 2 to 3 to 200 leads, and okay, let's dilute that to 50%. You know, 50% is garbage. So you got 100 probability of closing at least 5 out of that 100 is a very realistic, and I'm sure 5 of those generate some decent revenue.
Yeah, of course, exactly. It's always better to have the numbers on your side than say, why are we not getting any leads? I think that's the other thing too. The importance of having that information and having all those emails or having those contacts, and then you can set up all the qualifiers on the back end. And they have that too within their calculator. So they know that if somebody puts in their average valuation is under $1 million, then that's not their ideal customer. But if the valuation comes out and it's 3-5 plus EBITDA, then that's a good lead. So the calculator almost does a bunch of that sifting and sorting, and they can just kind of pull them out and jump on them.
So what could a small SMB person, someone's doing 500,000 to a million and they're trying to crack that million mark, they're hitting 750,000, give or take, what would be a strategy that they could implement themselves to help them punch through that $1 million mark?
I think the main thing is having tools like that on your site. It's something that people don't typically think about when it comes to enhancing a website. But in most cases, there are calculators, quizzes, or these other sort of engagement tools that your customers are searching for that you don't think that they're searching for. And so when you can reverse engineer a strategy like that and funnel as much traffic as possible to it, people are getting nurtured in a way that doesn't feel scale salesy or whatever. And they can essentially find use in the tool that you offer to them. And then they can be upsold or sent into a nurture sequence or followed up with more value from there on out. Essentially, what you need to do is just figure out a way to collect their email in a way that they feel like is worth their time in exchange, and then get as much traffic there as possible.
What's something that somebody can do themselves and to the point where they need to stop doing it and get out of doing the working in the weeds and hire an organization like yourself? What can they do to get themselves going so that they can get to the point where they can hire an organization like yourself?
Yeah, I'd say a really good, easy thing that people can do is to work on building their website authority. And so reaching out to allies in your space, other people with websites, seeing if you can contribute a guest blog to theirs and link your author name or your brand saying that you wrote this article, link that from their website over to yours. The more ways you can acquire what's called a backlink, a link from another website to yours, that will just make your website so strong. The nice, easy to remember analogy I always think of is the more lines on the spider web that you have, the stronger the web is. And if you imagine your website in the center of that spider web, you want as many lines connecting to that center as possible. Make connections, start networking, talk to people, and get as many people to talk about you on their website. And that's going to help you a lot.
Also, backlinks are still a big player in the equation because nobody talks about them, really.
Yeah, it's a massively important thing because Google places, and even ChatGPT and these other places, they emphasize authority and trust. And so each one of those backlinks is essentially a vote of confidence from someone else's website choosing to vouch for you. So the more of those you get, the better.
Okay, because I know that used to be a big thing back in the day, and then all of a sudden it became quiet and nobody ever talks about it. So I'm glad you really brought that up because that's an overlooked strategy. That's a very solid strategy. That's what people used to talk about it 5-10 years ago was, you know, getting a bunch of backlinks. You just validated it's still solid.
Still solid, as long as it's more of a quality versus quantity approach. So I would say don't buy backlinks from Fiverr. Don't go the route of, okay, I found a guy who can give me $1,000 for $10. That will definitely hurt you. It's much better to spend your time trying to find 5 to 10 very high quality links from people that are relevant to you than to just spray and pray, waste money and time.
Sure. Well, that's one of the quotes that I have is, to be terrific, you need to be specific. And if you're specific, you'll be terrific.
Love that.
So what you're doing is really helping be specific so they can be terrific. So, Steve, what are the other services that you guys offer? I saw on your website you had a multitude of others, so I'll let you share it.
Yeah, so the main things we offer are just back to content and backlinks. Like those are kind of the two core pillars of SEO, whether it's going to be in the form of full service. So if we're doing all the heavy lifting for you, or we do have a DIY approach that is for people who maybe have in-house teams, or maybe they really like writing and they just need someone to help them steer the strategy. So those are like the core basics. We are also in the early stages of rolling out a package dedicated to getting more visibility on places like ChatGPT. So it's called GEO, which is Generative Engine Optimization. And these are essentially special strategies that we have up our sleeve in order to help get you more visibility in Google and these other LLM platforms.
I think you brought up a great strategy here because really, I don't think anybody's really thought about making sure that they show up into all these AI platforms. Because everybody's busy utilizing them to improve their stuff, but you're really bringing a whole different viewpoint is, okay, it's nice to be utilizing them to improve your content and improve your stuff and everything else, but if you really want to scale your business, you need to be part of that equation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of our current clients, they just landed a $10,000 upfront sale plus a $2,000 a month retainer on top of that. And the client was found from ChatGPT. They typed in, who do you know for e-commerce bookkeeping? And our client was top of the list in ChatGPT, went straight from ChatGPT to their website, booked the lead, booked the call, closed it.
So you could say that that client is another super fan of yours because they didn't do anything except AI basically brought them a lead and they closed it.
Yeah, funny enough, that business is actually owned by my co-founders and the power of SEO themselves. And that's why we do SEO for a handful of their other companies. They're super fans amongst being part of the company and the people who are behind the entire ethos of it.
Well, you bring up a great point there because I didn't even think about from that perspective that you could be searching. You search stuff for ChatGPT, but never really thought that, poof, here's some recommended companies. And then you go to them and, okay, and then if their data and their information is deal, it closes itself.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like you said earlier, using these places for search essentially cuts out all the noise that you would have had on Google. And so when you can search for something that quick and easy in ChatGPT, Perplexity, or whatever platform you're using, that's essentially Google 2.0 right there. Like we're back in this golden era that we were in 2001, where businesses are starting to realize that they can drive traffic, drive business, and drive real growth from places like ChatGPT. Now coming to us saying, how do I rank in this? It's what we saw. People were like, what's Google? How do you rank in Google? And so it's a very weird evolution that we're starting to enter.
Yeah, but you bring up an interesting point that I want to also expand upon is that everybody always talks about Google, but I never hear people talk about Bing. And I would think that that's a very important part of the equation.
It's a smaller percentage for sure. With our new GEO package, we are actually starting to prioritize Bing optimizations as a part of the strategy itself. And the reason being is because our hypothesis is that whether it's prevalent or well-known or not, because Microsoft has a very big chunk of the pie in OpenAI and ChatGPT, there is likely some influence in how Bing is crawling and interpreting results and how that could be interfering or helping or hurting the ChatGPT results. And obviously Google is the bigger player in the room, but I think that for once in the evolution of SEO, I think that Bing is actually something you really want to have dialed in and really want to have optimized because Google and vice versa with Microsoft, there's a lot of incentive for Microsoft to work with that.
Yeah, I mean, it surprises me because sometimes I've talked to other SEO type organizations and everybody talks to Google and I go, isn't Bing like the number two search engine or was? And one says, yeah, but we're Google certified and all that stuff. I'm going like, yeah, but there's a lot of people that get installed the software, especially in corporate America, and boom, Bing is the default. They don't change it. They use it and that's where they go.
Yeah, 100%. Like we even had a client not too long ago come to us and their entire offer and business is in the Microsoft product suite as a B2B service for setup and optimizations. And they came to us and were like, hey, we're getting a bunch of random traffic from Bing. Have you noticed this lately? And I was like, yeah, I did notice that. But to be honest, this is a first for me. And so that kind of opened my eyes to the fact that, yeah, there is a huge opportunity with Bing. And I think that it's also so easy to optimize. It takes no time at all. It's a one and done setup from that point of view. And you're just
exactly
no effort. So yeah, of course.
What about like the Yandex, the other one that's from Eastern Europe and stuff like that? You guys ever pay attention to any of that?
Not really, only because many of our clients are more focused on engaging with US-based companies. And so there probably is, but it's also just not our wheelhouse. And so it's trying to stick to what we know and what we're experts in. But it's definitely been on my radar, just trying to figure out, like, is this a good use of my time? And how does this relate to clients in terms of getting them the best results possible?
Yeah, because I mean, is Google like utilized? I don't know about Europe if they're still all you Google utilizers and Bing users, or do they have their own search engines in that? I know like China has its own search engine and stuff like that. So the reason I bring it up is I've played, like I said before, I played on a global stage. So I look at things from a global perspective and how does that affect different aspects?
Countries definitely have their own search engines. Maybe not every single country. The big players definitely have that, China, Russia, etc. But Google will also just move over to a different type of Google. If you go to Google Germany, instead of .com, it's .de for Deutsch. So there's little things like that where it will have curated results to that. The other thing too is that like Google knows that if you're searching for something in German, that it's probably not going to show English speaking sites that cater to people in Seattle, Washington. So it will cut that out and try to show tailored results that match the search intent of the user.
So, any other services that you guys offer?
We have a lot of people in our Rolodex when it comes to getting people results in the conversion rate optimization department, the user experience department. Those are our bread and butter, is trying to get you traffic and then pull a lever that makes traffic turn into more money for you. That's kind of what we stick to. We're simplists and we also are boring SEOs by the degree. So like we know what works well, we know how to do it. We've done this playbook for 10 to 15 years, and our entire ethos and that mindset is just to do what works well and do it longer than everyone else and don't reinvent the wheel.
Well, it's been a great conversation, Stephen. And how can people find you?
Yeah, so they can find me on LinkedIn. I'm very active there. I post daily content. You can also find me at Trio SEO, TRIOSEO.com. You can also just Google my name plus Trio SEO. I always joke that if you can't find me online, I'm doing my job wrong. So should be able to find me one way or another.
Okay. And do you have anything for our listeners?
Yeah, you can go to Trio SEO /SOPs if you'd like a handful of free SOPs that kind of help you kickstart your journey. And if you're interested in working with us, you can go to /audit, AUDIT. And we can fill out a custom hand-built audit from our team and see if working together makes sense.
Yeah, great conversation, Stephen. You and I could probably talk about this stuff for at least another day. And great having you on the show. Love to have you on the show down the road.
Likewise, thank you so much.
That was Stephen Schneider from Trio SEO, breaking down how to turn SEO into a true business growth engine, not just a traffic tactic. His insights on focusing SEO at the bottom of the funnel and connecting every piece of content to sales outcome are a game changer for any service-based business. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm grateful you're here and part of the Business Superfan journey. Every listen, every action you take gets you one step closer to creating your own superfans. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss what's next. And when you're ready to uncover the growth gaps holding your business back, book your free Prosperity Pathway discovery call at prosperitypathway.chat. Remember, one action, one stakeholder, one superfan closer.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.